I don't see any crash helmets here today. Well, I didn't wear one either. It's still a good idea for Advent, though. Today's lesson isn't about, like last week's, signs in the stars and roaring seas, but it's every bit as earth-shaking as last week's. When the reign of God bursts into our lives, it's guaranteed to interrupt business as usual. Today's candle is the peace candle. And our usual assumption is that peace is all about calmness and brightness and quiet. Make no mistake, God's peace is aimed at turning the world around. Waging peace is hard work that interrupts business as usual. It ain't for sissies. Jesus constantly interrupted business as usual by healing the untouchable, respecting foreign women, overturning the tables of religious corruption, and rising from the dead. That ain't business as usual. It's sort of God's MO, method of operation. It was God's way from the beginning of creation, and the beginning of God's life on earth, of Jesus' life on earth, was hardly business as usual, was it? Now, I want you to take you back to that scene of Mary and an angel showing up. Mary was undoubtedly interrupted when the reign of God burst into her life. What was it like for her that day when Gabriel came? Most medieval paintings show a serene, wealthy Mary reading, presumably a book of prayers. And this was undoubtedly the one thing that she wasn't doing. Because who taught women to read back then? Plus, she was a peasant woman. She was a peasant woman marrying a man who didn't own any land. That put them on the social ladder just above servants and slaves. No fine linen for this young woman. I think it was far more likely to be a scene like this one. A poor Mary, busy with laborious household chores, maybe carrying buckets of water from the communal village well. Gabriel came to her to interrupt her business as usual. And here's what I believe. I believe she could have ignored him. Who knows how many already had? So many of us see something unusual, something we don't understand, and we just plow right on. We keep fixated on whatever very important thing we need to get done. Now, sometimes God does act by knocking us to our knees. I know that. But in my experience, there are many more times when the intrusion of the divine into everyday life is as subtle as a sigh. Thank God, Mary wasn't too rushed to pause, to notice, to wonder. Taking the time to pause, notice, and wonder is a basis of many saints' stories. As Moses was tending his sheep for his father-in-law, a message of God appeared in the form of a burning bush, interrupting Moses as he tended those sheep. He could have rushed on after his flock, but instead he paused. He noticed and wondered what this amazing sight might mean. Moses then waged God's peace and turned the world around. When a strange man interrupted Mary's chores, greeting her like no one had ever greeted her before. I know I've never been greeted like that. She could have bolted in fear like a jackrabbit. That'd be a reasonable thing to do, but instead she paused. She noticed, and she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary waged God's peace and turned the world around. But it's not just old-timey biblical figures that do this. When I was in seminary, Loxie Daly was the registrar. The person who signed you up for the right course made sure you were on the right track for whatever degree you were getting, but she was far more than that. She was basically the campus mom. Most of the students who attended Trinity Lutheran Seminary had to move there. Some came straight from college, and the master's level studies freaked them out. We actually expected them to read and write papers. Many students were second career people who had to either leave their families behind or had to uproot them and move to Columbus, Ohio, which is, as they say, a great place to live, but you wouldn't want to visit there. It took time to learn to love it. A few students came from other countries, like Africa. And they all went to Loxi when things were tough. Now, as a commuter who already had a couple of degrees, I didn't have that many issues. But like everyone, I had to go see Loxi to sign up for classes. While waiting in her office one day while she finished up a phone call, I looked at her like 200 plaques and bumper stickers and sayings up on her office walls, and one of them was a quote from Henry Nouwen. It said, "My whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." Loxi made a ministry out of the students who came to interrupt her. She paused. She noticed, and she wondered what was going on, really going on, in that student's life. And she had a disarming way of finding out, too, even if you thought all you'd come in to do was switch from the morning to the afternoon section of systematic theology. After pausing and noticing and wondering, she would calm the frantic students down. She'd help seminary spouses find jobs. She helped me navigate the land of Lutherans. I don't know anything about them. And she wondered about Patrick. Patrick was a dear Anglican priest from Uganda, a husband and loving father of four, who was sent by his bishop to get an advanced degree at this seminary. He was going to be gone from his family for 2 solid years. Patrick arrived from Uganda with a week's worth of clothes, $200 in pocket money, and no winter coat. Loxi paused, noticed, and wondered what an Ohio winter would be like for Patrick. And she asked some student leaders to have a clothing drive. And Patrick ended up with clothing he'd never seen in his life. He ended up looking kind of like that kid in the Christmas story with a Patrick's now a bishop in Uganda. And Loxi was no less important for Patrick than the bush was to Moses or Gabriel was to Mary. Loxi waged peace and turned the world around for that simple, dear man. Pause. Notice. Wonder. Where is God showing up in this moment? A few centuries ago, in heavily Roman Catholic parts of Europe, there was a spiritual discipline whose very purpose was to interrupt business as usual. It was the Angelus prayer. 3 times a day, at 6 a.m., at noon, and at 6 p.m., the bells on the local church would ring 9 times. Dong, dong, dong. Dong, dong, dong. Dong, dong, dong. Not only in monasteries and naves, but in homes and fields, on the docks, wherever the bell was heard, people would stop and they would say the Angelus prayer. The core of the prayer is based on our lesson from today, the Hail Mary. The Hail Mary is right from Scripture, but with a little twist at the end. If you know it, say it with me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. 9 times they'd say that, along with some other prayers. From bishops to peasants, people paused in their business as usual, took notice of how God acted in the world, and in wonder gave glory to God for saving them, sinners though they may be. Now, this strain of theology may be foreign to many of us, although to some of you it seems you're pretty familiar with it. But this prayerful practice shows that when God interrupts business as usual, we still have the choice of whether or not to keep rushing on. Moses, Mary, Loxi, and millions across the centuries stopped their rushing to pause, to notice, and to wonder. Maybe we should too. Maybe we should too, not just as a matter of our own spiritual growth, but as a way of waging peace in a crazy world today, waging the kind of peace that just might turn the world around. We can all pause, notice, and wonder pretty easily in our own homes, right? You know, control everything in there. But I think God is mostly active out there. How can we notice what God is doing out there? Well, our frantic secular culture will never get back to the days where the ringing of the Angelus bells brings a whole village to a full stop. What might we use? Well, you can thank Bing Crosby for an idea I came up with. One of our old Christmas CDs was playing the other day, and I was, well, interrupted when I heard these words. Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green stoplights. That brings almost everyone to a stop. You know who you are. Several times a day. What if for the rest of Advent, and now I need my ushers, what if for the rest of Advent we had the discipline of waging peace as the world turns around? What if for the rest of Advent, instead of cursing red lights, they became our burning bush, our angel, our Angelus bell? Pause. Notice. Wonder. Where is God present right at this very moment while you're sitting at a red light? What about the young man next to you with the bass booming so that everybody in three counties can hear what he's listening to and that no one wants to listen to? How can you pray for him without any snark at all? How about that harried young mom in the SUV with the yelling kids? Or that old lady over there down and going on the sidewalk trying to cross the street with all of her earthly possessions crammed into a metal basket with wheels? What can you do for her? How can you pray for her? What about the guy by the side of the road with a sign that simply says, hungry, please help, God bless? Or the store that's been there for years that has a going out of business sale sign in the window. What happened to that dream? And then there's that person who guns their engines and races through the yellow light. Maybe it's orange. Maybe it's red. What kind of prayer does that person need? Or how about that one over there with the windows up tight, obviously singing at the top of their lungs? I love watching people do that. Or what about the sunrise peeking over the trees? Or what I saw the other day at Keene and 580, worst traffic light in the county? Thousands of blackbirds on the wire. It was amazing. What's that about? It's Advent. Does everyone have a card? Everyone who wants one? It's Advent. The Prince of Peace is near, coming to turn the world around. As we sit at that red light, we can be like Moses, like Mary, like Loxy. Our everyday business has already been interrupted, and I also have figured something out. After you get in your car and you pull out your driveway, you're not going to get where you're going any faster if you're in a panicky, frantic rush. I'm going to say that again. After you pull out of your driveway, you're not going to get where you're going any faster if you're in a panicky, frantic rush. In fact, you might make a stupid decision and get pulled over, and then how late will you be? Our everyday business has already been interrupted when we're at that red light. Pause. Notice. Wonder. Before the light changes, say a prayer for one of the people you saw, for healing for them, or thanksgiving, or for courage, or for insight, or maybe just for patience. And then when the light turns green, go. Go wage peace. Be a partner in God's grace. be, as Paul says, rich with the knowledge and all kinds of insight, so that you can decide what really matters to you. Be a partner in God's grace, the grace that is turning the world around.